Yeah. then to Mother Frances down in New Orleans. Happy Easter, Mama Jo down in Homer. Happy Easter. And you know, the preaching, hero. That's what they're preaching. And I want to take this time, crucifixion, bring about a resurrection. See, when you're crucified, you've got to be resurrected. I want to tell you, the mother of knives, the mother of the sticks, and every letter, every telephone call, God is lifting you up out of the monkey mud that you're in. And this Easter is not like Easter with so much murder going on in the city and outside the city. Just this weekend, we had 20 shootings, 4 or 5 killings. That's in the city of Chicago. I ain't talking about what happened in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, what's happening across this nation. But God said hi and looked low. And I want to tell you, it's time for you to reach out. God bless you, Pastor Blue. Brother Joe, God bless you. Those that have called, I want to let you know that's a breakthrough for you. Even as I was talking to people down in Baton Rouge this morning, I told them that would be a breakthrough. If you can break away and let God handle your life, and some of you are so tied up, you're so wrapped up, you don't know what's going on. God still loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's good in the world, there's evil in the world. There's a lot of evil going on around the country right now. Lots of death going on. Lots of sickness going on. And you said, Bishop, why men and women have turned their back from God? And when you turn your back from God, it's nothing but calamities, death, and destruction. And the city of my people that are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. And right now, the land needs to be healed. People need to be healed. When you got people over in Israel starving, this is the rich and Biden and that administration study sending bombs and guns. That ain't right. Instead of sending bombs and guns and women and children being killed, being bombed, because they got a corrupt administration in Israel. It's corrupt. And it's killing people. And won't nobody speak out. What's going on in Ukraine? That's corrupt. And I don't know why America want to be the landlord over everybody. Can you control Russia? Can you control Israel? No. Instead of sending bombs, they can send 6 airplanes and all kind of bombs to Israel. And right now, you got people ain't got nowhere to stay. They're staying in tents. But this is kind of evil that's going on in our world. But I want to say to you, God is in control, and God will make things work out. Now, I could tell you a Bible story, but I'm going to tell you a story about people starving over in Israel, in the world. I'm going to tell you about people over in Africa starving right now. People over in Ukraine starving right now. The richest country in the world. And we send all kind of money to Russia, all kind of money to Ukraine, all kind of money we're sending over to Israel. You might say, well, bitch, it don't bother me. It bothers me when I see little babies' limbs shot off because of bombs and a hole and they crushed and they have nowhere to stay and nobody's saying nothing. And our government is steady sending bombs and planes and act like it ain't happening. I can't vote for that kind of person. I can't vote for a person that want to overthrow the government. I can't vote that person that lies, continue lies about the truth. I wish I had somebody listen to me. But a lie you do not tarry in God's eyesight. That's what the Bible says. But early Sunday morning, the story goes, if you read the Bible, he got up and said, all power is in my hand. And every church this morning is celebrating Easter, and they're saying, he rose, he rose. If Jesus rose to where we at now, we talking about peace and love and joy over the world. Free the political prisoners that have been in jail for a long time. You know, I'm going to go there. I know you don't want to go there. We got brothers was in jail from the Black Panther Party. We got brothers in jail from the Black Stone Rangers. We got brothers in jail from the Latin King. We got brothers in jail from the Vice Lord. These are political prisoners, and they were put in jail by politics. And what I'm saying to you, if you're gonna make it right, free all the innocent people, well, we can begin to help. You're bringing people over with diseases, bringing people over killing people. You don't even know them folks, but you're bringing them, putting them next door to your church, next in school. They got the measles a month, and some of the women coming over turning tricks. They got syphilis. Ain't no cure for syphilis. So we're in a situation now where evil have took center stage. But prayer changes things. And you might not want to hear it, but it's going on all over the world. Things happening. But I want to tell you that God sit high and look low. You know when they took Ezekiel, and you didn't, I know they didn't tell you this. They took Ezekiel, blinded him, and threw him in a valley where nothing but dry bones and people had been dead for years and years. He was blind. But God restored his sight for him to see. And God gonna restore your sight and your memory in your mind, where you can be the woman to have the job, the man to have the job. And I'm praying for your healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to say this to you. It's a healing spirit taking place in America. It's a healing spirit taking place for you and me. But we got to let go and let God heal our mind. I want you to understand that. And I want to say to you, Brother White, was telling me they stole his land and they put a fence around his land. But I want to tell you, Brother White, this morning, the land that's stolen is your land from your ancestors. And God's going to give you land that was stolen, God gonna give land back to you. And I want to tell you, I see healing in the astral for many of you this morning. I see a breakthrough for many of you this morning. And there's a door open for you. I want you to know April will bring. And I have a birthday for Lorraine. Her birthday is in April. I had to step before. But I want to tell you, Prophet Lorraine, all is well. And I want you to shake it. And like Grandma always said, shake it and shake it off. And get ready for the new beginning. Get ready for God to carry you to the next level. I feel that Psalm 75, Psalm 93, in the spirit of the prophets, in the spirit of the ancestors, there will be a breakthrough in your life. And that breakthrough will carry you to the next level. I just feel that God is opening up a divine door. The door has been closed. But God will open that door up. As I pray for you this morning, this is Sunday morning with the bishop, I want the war in Israel to stop. And I didn't kill enough people. And I want the President of the United States of America and Congress, Democrat and Republican, stop babying these Jews and saying it's all right for them to kill innocent children. You can pack the church. If you ain't talking about stop the killing, save the babies, you ain't doing nothing. It's a shame. It's all those innocent children ain't got food, ain't got nothing to eat. And they ain't nobody saying that they can get all the money they want to get. Stop the killing, save the baby. The wages of sin is death. To God, eternal life. You got to pay for all that murdering that's going on right now on our watch, on my watch, on your watch, on President Biden's watch, on the Democrat and Republican watch. But people are starving. They sleeping in tents and won't nobody say nothing about it. Stop it by all costs. And I want to say to all the imams and all the bishops and the prophets, wake up. Israel, wake up. With all the Islamic people, wake up. It's time to stop killing. What's going on in Russia ain't nothing with what the killing that's going on right here in America. Killing that's going on in Egypt. The killing of the innocent people right here in Chicago starving. Can't get a job. Then right now they done packed people that are sick with cancer, high blood sugar, syphilis, and this is the kind of stuff that's going on. It seems like you can't see if something is happening country in our community, in our neighborhood. It's happening. And everybody's saying, well, it's all right. I'm a vote Democrat, I'm a vote Republican. That's what you're saying. I'm gonna vote for God. And if God leads me, I'm going the way God said. And I know that there's some things that ain't right. And God gonna work this thing out. And I wanna tell you this morning, don't make no opinion that you pray about it. And let God direct your path. Exodus 14:14. Exodus 46. Psalms 59, Psalms 71, 78, and Psalms 20. I'm praying for you, Sister Cook, who called me. I'm praying for you, Sister Vanilla. I want to go to Minnesota. Brother Harris, I'm praying for you. Amelia, I'm praying for you. Bright Star, right there in Minnesota. I'm praying for you. All is well. I want you to get ready for a breakthrough this morning. On this Sunday morning, I want you to get ready for God to open your worldly eyes up where you might know God is God. One thing resurrection tell us that God broke the door open for reality. Some of you are going through things right now. You can't tell nobody. But I decree your healing this morning. I decree your deliverance this morning. And I decree your breakthrough this morning. And it's going to come quick, fast, and in hurry. I want to say to you, in the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel didn't have nowhere to go. Imagine a blind man, a blind woman. You don't know what's around you. Somebody asks you, can they live? You got to say, God, you know, because I can't see. They had blinded him, throwed him away. Some of you are blind. Throw it away right now. Ain't got no hope. But I want to tell you, God going to uplift you. God going to restore you. He going to give you the house that you want, the finance you want. He's going to bring the family back together like the devil tore it up. Somebody, tell somebody all is well. Tell somebody God is still in the healing business. Tell somebody God will break to you this Sunday morning. He rose and you rose. You got up this morning and looked around. You was living. You were in the land of living. You woke up this morning and you could say, thank you, Jesus. You woke up this morning. You can lift your hand up and drink a cup of coffee or some water. Thank God for Jesus. And I just want you to get ready for a breakthrough in your life. Whatever you're going through, what procedure you have, God going to heal it. What darkness in your life, God going to bring light to that darkness. And he's going to do it quick, fast, and I believe he's going to do it in a hurry. So get ready for God to touch you in a special way.
Corner in the Bible. We appreciate you spending your time with us, and we pray that this might be a very exciting presentation to you. To many people, the information that we will share today will be new, will be shocking, will be, as some might call, revolutionary. But they're in the scriptures, and that's what we want to be able to do. Find out what does the Word of God has to say about people of color. Let us begin with a word of prayer so that the Lord might be able to incline our hearts and our minds to truly understand what is the thus saith the Lord. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your of having us alive today, of giving us this opportunity to hear your word. We ask that whatever we say, we ask that it might come from your word, that you might be able to give us spiritual eyesight, that we might be able to discern and that you might be able to instruct us, hide me behind the cross of Christ, and please, Lord, not it be my word, but yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. People of color in the Bible is divided up into four different sections. And what we want to do is cover these four major points for purposes of this presentation. First, does it show that the Bible events occurred in classical Africa, and that Africa is in fact the cradle of civilization, and that the Garden of Eden was located. Point two is to show that the religion of the Bible is the religion of our forefathers, who are beyond a shadow of a doubt the great patriarchs and women of the Bible. Point three is to acquaint people with the rich biblical legacy and heritage that we have as Black people. And point four is to show that the greatness that we had as a people and as a nation is once again obtainable, but only as we return to God. Let us look at the Garden of Eden and try to get an understanding of what the Bible says. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verse number 10. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 10. Notice what it says. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Notice what the scripture says. It says that a river came out of the Garden of Eden, and it's divided up into four different rivers. Now, what we want to do now is identify what are these four rivers, okay? Notice what verse 11 and 12 says. And the name of the first is Typhon. That is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is barium and the onyx stone. Notice what it says. It says the first river is called Typhon. Now, we don't have a river today that's called Typhon, but it tells us that it says that this river encompasses or surrounds the whole land of Havilah. So what we need to do is try to identify where the land of Havilah is. Okay? And to do that, we have to turn to Psalm 49, verse 11. That Psalm 49, verse 11. And notice what it says. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own name. What did it say? It says they call the land after their own name. Okay? Now, so what this is telling us is that if you had a son, then you would name the land after them. Or if you had children, they would name the land after their children or after you. Now, let's see if there's any examples in the Word of God. Let's turn to Judges chapter 18. We want to turn to the book of Judges chapter 18, and we're going to read verse number 29. Judges chapter 18, verse 29. Notice what it says. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Machir at the first. So notice what it says here. It says that they called the name of the city what? Dan, after their father, or after their particular tribe. Okay, that's one example. Let's look at another example. When we look at the Canaanites, okay, they dwelt in the land of Canaan. Now, the question was, there was one of the children of Ham was called Canaan. And so the land was named after what? After one of the sons of Ham. So that becomes the point. Okay, now the question is, well, do we have any children that is named Havilah? Yes, if you look at our chart, you will find out that Ham, who's the father of the Africans, had a son called Cush. And that word, Cush, is translated Ethiopia. And Cush had a son called Havilah. So we should expect to find the land of Havilah under the Ethiopian Empire. Now, we have to remember that the Ethiopian Empire extended as far as India and as far as China. They had a massive empire. And so, of course, if you look at our chart, you will see that Havilah is between the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf. And that's in what we would call today the Middle East. Okay? Let's look at the second river, Genesis chapter 2. We're back to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Let me ask you a question today. Do you know any river in the world that surrounds the land of Ethiopia? You want to. It's the longest river in the entire world. Yes, it is called the Nile River. The Nile River begins in the heart of Africa, and what it does is it comes out of Africa and flows up through into Egypt. And notice where it flows into first? It first flows into what we call Upper Egypt. And as it continues to flow, the Nile River, it flows up into what we call the Lower Egypt. And then finally, it dumps into the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? Now, that is the longest river in the world. Okay? And that is the Nile River. So at least we've been able to find one of them that is called the Nile, one of the rivers, which is Gihon, which is called the Nile River. Notice, according to the 11th century Bible scholar, he says that this river, Gihon, is the Nile River. Let's read on in Genesis chapter 2, and let's see what the third river says. Genesis chapter 2, verse 14. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. What does it say? It tells us that this third river is called Hiddekel. And if you read in the book of Daniel, you'll find that the Bible talks about this river, Hiddekel. And notice what it says. It says it flows toward Assyria. Okay? Now, do you know any river that flows toward the east of Assyria? Okay? Now, we see here, this is Assyria right here. Okay? So we'd have to find a river that flows east toward Assyria. And if you look, you'll find out that it's what? Called the Tigris River. Right here it tells us. It's the Tigris River that flows toward the east of Assyria. So now we've been able to at least identify two of the rivers. One is called the Nile River. Another one is called the Tigris River. Okay? Now notice what else it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 14. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So the Bible tells us what the fourth river is. Now everyone knows where the Euphrates River is, don't you? Yes. The Euphrates River is parallel to the Tigris River. It is right next to the Tigris River. Here's the Tigris River, and here is the Euphrates River. Okay, so out of all the four rivers that the Bible has told us about, we have been able to at least identify three of them. And the three rivers that we've been able to identify are the Nile, which flows in the heart of Africa, the Tigris River, and also the Euphrates River. And the other river, which is called Pison, we found out that that river is between the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea. Okay? That becomes very important. Now, according to a Greek historian, he says that the Cushite Ethiopians were the absolute government. Then notice what it says. This Greek historian says that the Kushites controlled the world and was absolute governing class for 500 years. That's a long time. And he tells us who they were. Now, one question people might want to know is, what is called classical Africa? I used that phrase in the beginning. Now, classical Africa, according to the Bible, is what we call today Africa and what we call the Middle East. The Middle East and Africa were all one continent in the past. And that becomes very important. Okay? Now, when we return, we're going to look in detail from the scriptures of how the scripture tells us that the Middle East, or the land of Canaan, the land that he promised to Abraham, was from the Euphrates River all the way over to the Nile River. That land is called the land of Ham, and how Africa is called the land of Ham, and Ham is the father of the what? Of the Africans. So all of that land, what we call the Middle East and Africa today, is called Africa, or the land of the black.
My name is Lee Hayes, and it's my privilege for David to serve as moderator for the program. We have today a special guest, Dr. Joseph Benjamin, who is an African anthropologist, an educator, an author, and a scholar. He's on my right, and on my left is Dr. George Simmons. Dr. Simmons is also a professor. He was born in St. Croix, Virgin Islands, USA, and we will discuss a number of topics this evening. These gentlemen are here to talk about African origins. As you know, in America, Black History Month is celebrated every February. Without further ado, let's get right into it, because I know they have some interesting viewpoints that will stimulate your thinking, even if you disagree with them or agree. I'm going to call you Dr. Ben, if that's okay, because I don't care, that's what people used to call you.
Yes.
One of the more controversial positions that you take is that Black Africans landed in America 2,000 years before Columbus.
I would not specify the day, but probably exceeded 2,000 years. The fact is that Columbus never came to the United States of America or North and South America. He came as close as San Salvador. There's a rumor that says that Columbus came to the United States to America. He did not come to America. He came to an island off America. They're supposed to came to America, not Columbus. Came to the Caribbean, but it is commonly stated just as much as they state that Columbus discovered America while the Indians sat down watching Europe. Now, but all their knowledge of Africans in the Americas, quite knowledgeable to scholars, the fact that it's suppressed doesn't have any validity at all.
Let me ask a couple of things, brother. One thing, this article that I'm going to refer to our home audience and to our studio audience, this article came out in the September 19, 81 issue of Science Digest, and it's entitled Black Kings in Ancient America. You and some other black scholars believe that these people, African people, came to the continent before Columbus.
We don't believe, no.
How do we know?
But the evidence is there. For example, when you go to Central America, the Yucatan Peninsula, and Ecuador and places like that, they have caches of Carthaginian money. How? 200 feet down in the ground, meaning that there were pluvial disruptions, and thus money was buried. So at least it indicates a period of time, at least from that, when you look at the stratus, you could tell the period of time in which they've been here. And when you're talking about Carthage, you're talking about at least 212 BC when Carthage was finally destroyed by the Romans. Again, this is the Queen Makeda, which you call the Queen of Sheba. They are nuts, which Rome, the church in Rome, the so-called Holy Father, has suppressed these maps from the time of Justinian. So in South America and what they call Central America, the maps there and Makeda goes back to at least 892 BC.
Before Christ. Let me point out another thing. This is from the same article. I don't know if we can see this on television. But here, tell me what this is and why do you see this as proof of the presence of
believe that he had come.
So get ready for a breakthrough. And get ready for a healing. That was some history on blacks in America. That was some of the history of what happened to blacks that was in America. Where they went and what happened to them. And where they was all crossed up. So we got a long story to tell about what's happening to us. What you ask God for, he'll give to you. quick fast and in that soup. I'm praying for your sister Barbara over at the Hilton Motel. I'm praying for you, Sister Barbara, and your whole staff. God is still in the business of delivering and breaking things up. God is in the way to open up doors for you. And I want to tell you, don't give up on God because he ain't gave up on you. Whatever you need, God got what you want. God got what you need. And I just want you to know that tonight, this evening, as we say Easter, Jesus, the reason for the season. But I want to ask the question this morning. When you look around, the sun shining, might be raining. You look around, the flowers growing, the birds singing. So God rolls in so many different ways. And he let you know that he's God all by himself. And I want to tell you, Pearl, I haven't heard from you in a minute. Give me a call. I want to tell you that God is able to open up doors for you and things are working for you.
Well,
quick, fast, and then
the broad nose. Okay, other stereotypes.
Get ready.
Other anthropologists.
God, too. Bless you.
Say, I think Michael Cole is one of them. He says that this is not a black man. He said the people who made these statues, which I understand are 8 feet high, the people who made these statues didn't have sharp enough tools to give them white features. So they're not really black statues. They're white people carved crude tools. What's your response to that?
It's strange that the tools were not sharp enough to make narrow nose, but it was sharp enough to put eyelids. So it would seem to me that an eyelid is harder to make than a thin nose. But Michael Cole is no less a racist than the head of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what's the difference between Michael Cole, Reagan, and the Ku Klux Klan? It has the same philosophy. What is the difference between the fellows writing the Bible and writing about the Queen of Sheba asking, I mean, saying to Solomon, look not, ye daughters of Cana, look not upon me because I'm black. My parents telling me to wine yarn and that's all this nonsense. She's black because nature made her black. Her mother and father were black. That's why she's black. Has nothing to do with wine yarn, even though it's in the Bible.
Okay, you talked about religion. We're going to get to that in a while. Let me turn to Dr. Simmons. You also agree with the position that Africans were in this country.
I have no problem, no doubt. As a matter of fact, speaking about, like Dr. Ben mentioned, you spoke about Michael Nico. I own a boat several years ago. And still have it in my possession by Michael Nico himself, who is considered one of America's leading archaeologists and anthropologists from Yale, one of America's most prestigious schools. In his own words, he referred to them as Negroids. And he went further to state the title of the book is America's First Civilization, what he called civilization. And to turn around and to tell these youngsters and other people in America, particularly, that the black men was the first to build any type of civilization in the Americas will be disturbing to Americans. And so,
let me ask you this. Even if you're right, let's say you're right, what difference does it make?
It makes a lot of difference.
What kind of difference?
It takes the inferiority complex out of the black man who felt that his only beginning and relationship here in this part of the world is that of slavery. Then it puts him in the driver's seat. Because, again, they don't tell you that they are man-made pills in the United States. They call them moms. And they range from in the Midwest all the way down the eastern seacoast of the United States. And there are some artifacts in them that are similar to things found in West Africa and in Egypt, which is Northeast Africa, that predate the arrival of the so-called indigenous Indians in these lands. Another thing is some years ago, one of the major television networks back in New York, I don't remember. I did a documentary, and they said that these Olmecs are the ones who brought right into the Americas about 3000 BC. To tell blacks that they ought to be glad to enter into these schools of higher learning today in order to read and write, because their ancestors back in Africa couldn't read and write. how what it will do to tell them that they brought right into the Americas. Antonio Pigafetta, that Dr. Ben mentioned, had sailed with Magellan when Magellan came to the so-called New World in 1519, when they landed at the land of Bourbon, which we now call Brazil. They were met by people in canoes that carried as many as 40 people. And Antonio Pigafetta recorded that these people were jet black. It seemed that they came out of the infernal marsh. That meant that they were burned. He said, naked and black as they are, in 1519, 27 years after Columbus's arrival to the so-called New World. Another thing that I won't tell you, again, you heard my associate.
Well, why haven't we heard these things before? Why don't we read them in the New York Times, Birmingham?
If I stole another man's country, and I brought your ancestors here to work for me, could I tell you how great your ancestors were and still expect to keep you in place?
Well, let me give you a better, not better necessarily, but an added situation of that. Most black people in Birmingham, Alabama, like in Harlem, New York, are Christians, and they go to us in a black community, a black minister, a black congregation, but with a white Jesus, because they didn't know that Jesus, up until Pope Julius II, had the first black Jesus painted. He had Michelangelo to do it, but up until that time, the world worshipped the black Madonna and Child. The present Pope is going back to Poland to worship at the statue of the black Madonna and Child. That's in the New York Times. But what the Times says the next day: don't worry about the black Madonna and the Child. She was originally white, but there was a storm in the 16th century passed by and turned it black. But the same storm must have gone to Spain, and then it went to Ethiopia, and it went to the Soviet Union and turned all the black Madonnas black. It was a hell of a storm.
Okay, let's get together here. I mean, we're jumping around, and I think we're going to have a beautiful, interesting hour. Okay. Because it's this subject. I was going to get to this later, but since you opened it, let's deal with it. Okay. You're in the Bible Belt, Dylan.
I heard so.
You heard so. And I must tell our audience, we had dinner together earlier, and we got into this a little bit. So you're going to hear some interesting things. But you guys are taking issue with a lot of what we grew up with in the Bible as fact. And tell me that's not so. You got
it. It is. I brought it right here. Before I show you the picture, you want to see. This is Pope Pius XII. In his private chapel, praying to the black Madonna and Child, and all the popes of Rome,
which
is their private, just from the church, the Roman Catholic Church itself. I just got rid of the copy of the history of the black Madonna last night. I brought one copy. It's published by the Roman Catholic Order of Nuns called the Daughters of St. Paul. And it says that the picture of the black Madonna and Child in Poland is reputed to have been painted by St. Luke. Now, St. Luke is said to have been one of Jesus' disciples. He ought to know what Jesus had looked like. So if he painted a black woman and child, who am I to say that he wasn't? Besides that, however, in Anacalypso...
So now you guys are saying Jesus is black.
We just say
it. It's what has been written
in history.
Up until the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325, when Rome, under the order of Constantine the Roman Emperor, ordered the 219 bishops at Nicaea, and they took away Christianity from the Africans. Just remember that before they said Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, they said he was born in a cave in Ethiopia. It was at the Nicene Conference that changed that. Let's go further.
Wait a minute, let me make sure I'm following you. You're saying that the birth of Christ, as we know it, is not accurate.
It's a farce. It was only a farce, a lie. You know what a lie is?
A lie is a lie.
The person who wrote that at the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325 AD, Constantine the Roman Emperor ordered a conference to be held because Rome wanted to take over Christianity from the people who started it. Christianity was started with Pantheus and Boethius in a place called Alexandria in Egypt. And Egypt is in Africa. I saw it up to January the 9th, it was there.
You talked about that a little bit last night in your lecture. There was a lecture last night in the conference center here on campus. You talked about the separation of people don't want us to see Egypt as part of Africa. We talked about this thing about blacks being in Egypt as well.
What I did last night.
I don't want to get away from the other point.
What happened is that I dealt last night the fact that the brothers and the institutions of higher learning, white institutions, consider the father of history. He himself, when he visited Egypt around 450 BC, almost half a thousand years before Christ, so that the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the people of cultures, which is part of present day Turkey, were people of black skin and woolly hair. All right? And so I just want you to understand that the Egyptians we now see are conquerors, just like people who came here and took this land from the Indians. So that being that indigenous to Africa, those who now rule Egypt, and Egypt is just as much a part of Africa as Birmingham or Alabama is part of the so called United States.
Let me just be clear on this. But what you're saying to me now is that the people that we see, the Dot and all those guys, are not too Egyptian.
So that mother was a Sudanese, but their fathers were Arab conquerors. The one that was the African was Mohammed Najib, the first president of Egypt, the one that overthrew Farouk. But 1 year after that, since he was looking for a hookup with the other Nile Valley countries as it used to be in antiquity, he was removed by the Arab conquerors. The Arabs didn't come to Egypt until 640. The first non-African people came to Egypt, otherwise called the Hyksos, in 1675 BC. The Africans there were ready for the 13th dynastic period. They had built every pyramid you saw there before. They had done the S-turn in the Nile. They built every one of the major temples that had already been built, including the Grand Hyksos of Luxor. The first European to come there did not arrive until the Greeks arrived with Alexander II, the son of Philip of Macedonia.
Look, I'm a college graduate. I never heard all this stuff.
Because they didn't intend to teach you that. They can't tell you that you're inferior and teach you that you taught Egypt and Europe. The first Europeans to be civilized by the Africans were the Greeks. When you heard of Homer, the first European to have written anything, you couldn't miss that. They said that Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. And that was not until 833 B.C. The Africans had already in 255,000 at the Tassili Mountain, they had the Sibylian period, first, second, and third, the pre-dynastic period, all the way up. The Africans had produced men like this, Imhotep, the multi-genius that designed the pyramid of Saqqara, the first man to be a physician that even Hippocrates, the so-called father of medicine, was giving him credit and called him the god of medicine. The Greeks changed his name from Imhotep to Aesculapius. There he is.
Get into what you're saying. So wait a minute, you guys are telling me now that black men taught Homer.
As a matter of fact, the Egyptians said Homer was Egyptian.
That's right, the Greeks said that the Westerners now said it was. But let us go back. Remember that Homer himself said in the Odyssey was that the god Zeus and Apollo, Europe's first gods, came from Ethiopia. Before read it, and I didn't write it, he wrote it. Phallus down to Socrates, and Socrates down to Aristotle, which they called the pre-Socratian philosophers, the post-Socratian philosophers, each and every one, including Plato, who spent 15 years in Egypt receiving their education.
You think Plato was educated in Egypt?
15 years! Before all of them, every one of them.
What you have me believe in also, but part of what you said last night is that Plato and these guys went back home, and they were big guys. But they were taught in Egypt.
They came there for education.
And they said it. They didn't hide it. It's the modern writers, the modern instructors and professors who were trended to know it.
You can't have in a racist school in Birmingham non-racist education.
Let me get to something you said last night that's not going to make you very popular in this town, and they not allow you to get safely out of town. You told an audience last night that you saw, I think, in a tomb in Egypt.
Yeah.
You saw it with your own eyes, right?
Yeah.
You told me that Moses, there were more than 10 commandments. Moses just took
42. There's negative confessions. So, Moses wasn't supposed to have been born until 1349 BC. The Africans were already in the 18th dynastic period. Akhenaten, who died before Moses was born, and Inhotep, who died died more than 2,000 years before the birth of Moses, and others had the grand life of